1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write to you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day, and don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that, whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Well, Andy and Rebecca have some of their family with us this morning, and they come from Kingston. And I told them before the service that 4 weeks today, Jan and I are going to be zoom right past Kingston on the way to Prince Edward Island. Now, to make that trip to Prince Edward Island, you need to be sure that you have a vehicle that can get you there. So, yeah, we'd had ours for a while, and we didn't think we'd make it there on it, so we had to get ourselves another vehicle. And lo and behold, can I have that first one up there? You're going to have to put the first one up there. You know, like all these cars, you get these maintenance things. You know, they are very detailed. They tell you exactly when it is you have to go in and get that vehicle serviced. And, you know, that car is going to give you the distance that you want, not only to get to Prince Edward Island or to wherever else you want to go over the years. You got to make sure you service your car. But occasionally, you know, there are people. This is Father's Day, and I'm not saying this is true for all fathers, but there are some men, okay, who think they know better. Now, what if I was one of those? And I said to myself, oh, forget about that 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, 12 month. I forget, that's just nonsense. They're just trying to get money out of me. I'm not going to get my car serviced. It doesn't need to be serviced. And then in the next breath, I tell Jan, by the way, Jan, this car has got to last us 10 years. And your answer would be, not. It won't happen. It's not like that. If you want to have it go the distance, if you want it to last, you have to have the vehicle serviced. Here's what I believe. I believe that as you go through the Scriptures, you heard that passage that Marg read this morning for us, that you will see in the Scriptures that encouragement, it's in there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, encouragement is to the church what regular maintenance is to your vehicle. We need encouragement if we're going to be in this for the long haul. We need to be a kind of people who are regularly, daily encouraging each other if we're going to be, you know, after all those kilometers of life in the church, we're going to still be around and be there. I'm not talking about the building. It's been here this part since 1901, in there since 1850-something. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the property. I'm not talking about this place. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about Olivia. Talking about you and me. We need to be the kind of people who are encouraging each other if we're going to endure. Encouraging each other helps us to keep going, to persist in our faith and our life as followers of Jesus. I need to go to my remote now, Michael, if I can, okay? Thank you. But, you know, along the way, stuff in our lives happens, right? God alone knows, well, we do too, I guess, that there are a ton of ways that our spiritual engine can dry up, can run out, can seize up, as it were. And we need encouragement in the family of Knox if we're going to keep on going in our faith, to keep us from wearing out, from fading, from dropping off, from, you know, having to reach that point in life where we think, oh, we got to junk this car of faith. It's no longer meaningful and relevant and real for me. Now, how does all that stuff kind of happen? Well, you know, along the way you discover this, invariably, inevitably, that life is hard. Paul was writing to the Christians in Thessalonica who were grieving. You know, they'd had some of their fellowship and their family die. It was a time really for the testing of their faith, because they actually believed, some of them, that they weren't going to die before Jesus was going to return and bring in God's new heaven, new earth. They didn't think that that was going to happen. They'd have to go through death as followers of Jesus. I've been thinking to myself, we're a month on now, sadly, tragically, but the coverage still is happening out there. It's still on a daily basis what Charlene Bosma is going through as she grieves the death of her 32-year-old husband, Tim. She needs, and thank God she's got, people who are encouraging her, who are standing with her. Every day she's got them. You see, life can get desperately hard on so many different levels. It can be about our health, it can be issues about sickness, things like, it can be about our work or our lack of work, you know, overwork, underwork. It can happen in the family. There can be stresses in the marriage. It can be something to deal with our children. It can be about our finances. You know, every turn, right out of the blue, something can just catch us off guard and leave us reeling. And that's one reason we need encouragement. Stuff happens. Another reason is not just that life is hard, but life is easy. You know, what happens, and this happens, particularly to us who live in the Western world, you know, we find, amazingly, that we have everything that we need. You know, everything seems to be good. Our life plan is all in order. We're moving forward. We got a few hitches along the way, but nothing really major of any real consequence. Everything is coming up roses for us. I mean, we're earning it. We're deserving of it. We're paying for it, really. We don't see ourselves as having any real needs. We're reasonably well off. We think to ourselves, well, maybe he doesn't or she doesn't, but I do. I've got it all together. You know, I'm doing all right in my own. I'm living this life of mine, made my own way, independent, self-sufficient. And life is so good that you begin to think to yourself that the servicing and maintenance that other people seem to need, they need that because, after all, they're wimps. You know, they're not strong and able-bodied and, I called one of the young people here a strapping young person, you know, but really having it all together in that kind of way. You know, you think of it like this. Let's just say that you get a car, and the car looks good, but if you don't get it serviced, and you put miles or kilometers on it, what's it going to be looking like after a period of time? It's not going to be looking really that good without being properly maintained. Every one of us needs maintenance. All right, help me out. I thought, you know, that three-word sentence would get me an amen in this church anyway. Every one of us needs maintenance. Thank you. Front row, thank you. If I could only get it from the back row, I'd be making it, all right? You know, the church is to be a community of mutual support and encouragement. We're to be a community of maintenance. You give encouragement and you receive encouragement. That's what it's to be really all about. And one of the hallmarks of the Knox Church family is that right here we find people, we find a body of people. Andy and Rebecca have professed their faith and joined this fellowship this morning. They are for us, and we are for them, a people who are committed to encouraging and building each other up in the faith. And let me tell you, this isn't just reserved for what you might call, quotes, the professional elites. This is the job description of every single one of us in this body, in this church family. We need the commitment of one another to encourage, to build up, and support, so that when life is hard, and it will be hard at some point or another, when life gets hard for us, we have people who are going to be committed to helping us remain steady, to keep steady through all of the difficulty and challenge that we're facing. We need each other in this body so that when life is easy, as it were, that we have people who are going to be maybe challenging us. They're coming alongside of us, but they're speaking truth and love to us, and they're not allowing us to find ourselves squeezed into the mindset and the mold of the world around us. We need the encouragement from one another if we're going to run the race that's been set before us by God in the life that the Lord has given us. You know, if I'm going to stay the course, if you're going to stay the course, we have to say to one another, we need you. I need you. And you need me. So how is it that we can encourage and build each other up in the faith? Well, there's a lot of ways. Turn to someone right now and just smile. Try harder there, Ethan, at Dad. It's Father's Day after all. All right. That one works. Okay. I mean, it's amazing what just moving those, 600 muscles that you got in the face do. You know, you could give a hug, learn something from Len Scobie, or if that's not where you're at just yet, a handshake will do too. It comes when you're just making yourself available to listen to people. Everyone's got a story, and we do well to listen deeply, patiently to the stories of each other's lives. It may be by writing a note, a card, I should have put another slash, email even, up there, right? Regularly, daily. You know, someone said this to me. Oh, I'm going to go over time, but I thought it was really so meaningful. Just a couple of weeks ago, Jaden and Leslie Marriott's grandmother died. And I know that many of us in this church family would have remembered to send a card to Brenda and to Chris. But someone was saying to me, I just thought of it. I need to send a card to Jaden and to Leslie. Their grandmother died. Imagine a child not just being included in the parental note, but getting their own note. That's encouragement. Taking somebody out to lunch. That works, doesn't it? Who doesn't like to go out to lunch with somebody? Yeah, that works, really does, to encourage and bless someone. Giving someone a small gift. You know, the list could go on here. There's endless possibilities, but believe me, any and every one of these makes a big, big difference if you're committed to doing it. You see it as part of your call in the body of Christ. But I want you to look with me, just as we conclude here, at this is verse 11, but taken from the Message. Some call it a paraphrase, but I think it's closer even to a translation. And here's how it goes. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope with words. So you'll all be together in this. No one left out. And guess what I left out when I gave this to Grace? I left the word out. But anyway, no one left out. No one left behind. You know, it's really important to be into the actions, you know, the deeds and all of that. But the phrasing that's here is really critical. It's picked up, really, it's building on what's in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 18, where it does actually uses the word words. And that's what it really means here, too, is these encouraging words. Not just encouraging deeds and actions and thoughts, but encouraging words. Now, I want you to remember, this is for every single one of us. This is not for a few of us, but for all of us. We are to encourage and to build one another up with words. Now, what kind of words would those be? The text tells us here, the New Testament's very clear about this. They're not words about yay, Boston. No, they're words about Jesus. They're words about the Savior that we have, the one who is Lord, the one who lived and suffered and died and was raised to life and gives us the grace gift of the Spirit. We're to encourage one another with these words. Now, we all need to know. In order to do that, we need to know and understand the gospel. And you can never retire from going deeper and deeper into the heart of God's love for us found in the gospel, found in Christ and in the Word of God. We're to encourage each other because we're all in this together, not one of us left out, not one of us left behind. You know, when stuff happens and life is hard and you're losing heart, you need people in this Christian family who are going to encourage you with words about Jesus. When life is easy, you know, when you may be in a situation where you're maybe drifting, fading away because of spiritual carelessness, you need people in this church family who are going to be willing to challenge you with words of the call of Christ upon your life as one of his followers. Now, when I think of that, I wonder to myself, well, let me just backtrack this. The praise team can come up. Ethan, you got the report card yet? No, it's coming soon, though, isn't it? Yeah. It's report card time in school, elementary and in secondary. And I'm just, you know, I've been thinking of that and just wondering to myself, what would the Knox report card look like when it comes to encouraging each other with words about Jesus, our Savior and our Lord? Now, I don't know what it would look like, but I know this. I do need to see the grade level go up, you know? And so I think, yes, I know for myself, and I believe this for Knox Church, we're all going to go to summer school. Yeah, we're going to summer school. We really are. 10 at 10. I want you to remember that. 10 at 10. 10 Sundays at 10 a.m., starting June 30th to September the 1st, we're going to summer school here in Knox, because each one of those Sundays, we are going to have someone, maybe several from our church family, who are going to be offering us words of encouragement. Words about how the life and the presence of God have been strong. You know, they experienced reality for them in their lives and different seasons of their lives. They're going to speak briefly about how God has been real present for them during maybe hard times, maybe easy times. We're going to hear words that are going to build us up and encourage us and build hope in us that this same God, for these people who will be sharing these words of encouragement with us, is with us. This God is with us in Christ, because we're called as a church to encourage each other. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's 24/7 with each other. Encourage each other, because in this church we get it. We're in this together. It's all about together. In this church, we're in it together, and we don't want to see anyone left out, and we do not want to see anyone left behind. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the deep, very real, yes, it is measurable encouragement that we have in the gospel. The word of our testimony this morning is that you've changed us. You've turned us around. You've given us life. And we don't want to go back in the ways of death. We don't want to go back to Egypt thinking of ourselves being like the children of Israel. We want to go forward, Lord, to the promised land, to the promises that you have for us to live in, to dwell in, to realize in our own lives as we continue on in this journey of faith in Christ. Thank you for encouraging and building us up in Christ. We want to do that for each other. As we've been blessed, we want to be a blessing one to another. And we give ourselves to this morning. Walk with us, journey with us, help us, that we'll find ways and means in trusting you to step out, to take the risk, to go a little bit further than we've gone before. In this ministry, you call us to have one to another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand together.
Amazing Stadium.
Has a heart to make you sing is the God who is singing over your life. So go into the life that this new week, by the grace of God, you've been given, listening for the song of the Lord over you and over your family, and dwell in it. Let it fill your life, God's song. Blessing of God, of the triune God, Father, Son.